Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you? Yes, yes, it's me again, Shantice. Pastor Steph is still away on vacation. Did you guys hit her up on Facebook and tell her you hope that she's enjoying herself? I did speak to her, and she is able to relax. She did listen in yesterday morning and she enjoyed the show, as I hope you guys did also. So in the words of Pastor Steph, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we went over our health tips, where the experts gave us a few ways to live longer, live stronger, and live better. They gave us some tips on how to have an automated behavior when it comes to going to bed early, when it comes to sleeping better. Remember they said make sure you make up your bed, and Kenny came on and confirmed what I was saying. When you take the extra 5 minutes to make up your bed before you rush out the door in the morning, and when you come back at night, how it just changes the whole outlook on sleep. Okay, then they gave us the tips on making sure that we get in the habit of drinking our green tea, as Pastor Steph drills into us almost every morning. Pumping up your heart health, shaking off your stress. Remember, we took the time to make sure we take at least 5 minutes, a five-minute mental health break, and setting boundaries with technology. Remember, they were telling us all about the no phone zone, whether that be when it's time to go to bed, at the dinner table, especially if we decide to watch a movie or show together as a family, making sure that we have that time where we are not engaged in our phones and have our minds just set on what's going on in the world, what's going on the gram and on Facebook and Twitter, whichever platform you really like to be on, Snapchat. And especially now with the kids, everything is about TikTok. TikTok is going to drive me crazy. And then we also went over our news, where we talked about the Academy Awards banning Will Smith for the next 10 years. Was that extreme for y'all? Because it was a little extreme in our opinion. Okay, then I didn't know, and a few of us didn't know, that there were actually other celebrities as well who was banned. I thought Will Smith was the first one, but obviously he was not. He was just one of many. Then we brought up the social media model / influencer / OnlyFans participant. Courtney Taylor. I keep forgetting her name. Courtney Taylor got into some kind of verbal dispute with her boyfriend, which led into a physical altercation, which led into her stabbing him fatally, and the cops showing up and his blood all over her. And unfortunately, he did not make it. Okay, his family is not trying to hear anything right now, especially the brother. He seems to be the most vocal one. Okay, but unfortunately right now, the model, Courtney Taylor, has to go through this. His family has to go through this. So trying to keep our nose in the mix with this as well. Okay, then we also spoke about Nancy Crampton Brophy. Remember her, the life insurance worker who decided to write the How to Murder Your Husband essay, and then a few years later, her husband comes up dead, and now she's shocked that she's the prime suspect. I don't know. I don't know. If y'all didn't hear that, y'all have to go back and listen, because the Due Time crew did bring up some really, really, really good points when it came to why are we even writing this? And then I said she should automatically put him in protective custody, because I have to really make sure that you're not allowing certain things to go on as you just wrote this essay. And I don't even know why we're writing it. Okay. Then, of course, you know, Mondays is Relationship Monday. And we talked about the 10 relationship problems millennials face, which I thought was very, very interesting. You had me and you had Vivian, who were the only millennials on the panel yesterday. But our views didn't seem too much different from the rest of the panel, which was good, which was really, really, really good. But, yeah, it just gave us a few tips as far as your misunderstanding and how do we respond to our spouse or our partner or husband or wife, boyfriend and girlfriend engaging with other people on social media. Interesting, interesting. And, of course, we had to finish it off with the Switch Tip of the Week, which was Switch Tip 99. Do your recap. And I just mentioned a few tips that I knew I needed to go back over. Possess that quiet strength. Embrace your singlehood. Love your enemies. Remember, it's not about you. Shut up and push through. Don't flirt. Tame your tongue. Stop cursing. If any of those fit you, go back to yesterday's show and listen again, because I did also give the air date of each one of those. Okay, so we really have to make sure that we're staying on point with being a good steward over the knowledge that God is blessing us with. Not only knowledge in general, but his knowledge. Not to take it lightly that he's taking the time to give us this information and going back over it, because the more we stay in tune with it, not even meaning to be a quote-unquote show-off, and we're not being a show-off, but it's going to show other people around us how we're growing. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day, but I drank 24/7, woke up, drank 8 or 9 shots of vodka, drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem or any problem.
I decided one last time to get clean, and so I went to the Knock It On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Good morning. You're listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, featuring your stand-in host, Sean Teeth. Yes, Pastor Steph is still away. But did you miss that recap? It's okay. Make sure you go back and you listen to yesterday's show, because those stories were very interesting. The health tips were really good. You know, I got to make sure I get my green tea in every night, get back to making sure I drink that every night. Now we're going to dive into our news for today. It was actually something that I came across the other day, and I found it very, very, very interesting, because I was actually just talking to somebody about this. Hold up. I'm sorry. Let me try to pull this up really quick. So we have a 101-year-old man who finally received his high school diploma. And the first thing I thought was, whoa, okay, First of all, he lived to be 101 years old, which is already amazing. How many of us are actually going to live to see that age? But he, wait, where's the story? I'm sorry, y'all, technical difficulties. Give me one quick second. Okay, so it says that he actually clocked out back over 80 years. Okay, and you've seen the picture. Family, he did go to Storer College, and that was a college that was here to serve the newly freed slaves back in the Civil War. And he did study a few things, went to school to study Latin, and study Greek. And that was the explaining why he had to drop out, but he did. And he had the courage to finally go back to music. And, you know, it really had me thinking about all of the things that, you know, we say that we're going to do. Okay, I'm going to go back and do this. Okay, I'm going to go back and do that. But how many of us really take the time to go back and do something that we don't really need to do for ourselves? And if this man at 101 years old can go back to school, do you know what it takes to go back to school? The reading and the assignments and the different areas of studies, even if you're talking about the basic areas, you're talking about math, you're talking about English, you're talking about science. I don't know if he has to do any phys ed. At 101, I don't know if they required him to do that. But, you know, you really have to just really give him, like, wow, this is what we're doing. Oh, okay. And as someone who dropped out three times, you know, it really does serve as a lot of motivation, even if, you know, God doesn't have it for me to go back to school. But what is it that I gave up on doing? What is it that I cheated myself? Remember, that's what you said about cheating yourself. What is it that I cheated myself out of doing that God may say, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go back and fix this? So we really have to make sure that we're paying attention to all of the people that God is allowing us to see go back and do this. You know, now the article doesn't say anything about, you know, this being a man of God, you know, him professing Christianity. But again, if God is allowing us to see this, then maybe this is something that we can take to him in our personal time. If you definitely want to give a big kudos to this man who just decided that he was going to do this. I'm just like staring at the picture like, wow. Wow. Okay. And I know people now that, you know, yes, their prime high school years, you know, the years that they were supposed to be in high school have passed them. And I've asked them, you know, do you want to go back? And they're like, I don't know. And it's, okay, well, I'm going to have to send them this article because there's no reason why we shouldn't be trying to strive to do something like this. And I know it's really easy to think, well, I don't have to, you know, engage and dive into this, especially if I've been able to get a job and I've been able to do this and I've been able to do that. But, you know, sometimes there's a basic thing that is required for us to do in life that speaks a lot about our character, that speaks a lot about our habits. Again, remember our health tips yesterday spoke about your habits as far as what you eat and the things that you do, even making up your bed, you know. So if it gets that detailed, as far as making up your bed, then something like getting your high school diploma, you don't know how that can affect you later on in your life, okay? But I'm sorry because I forgot that I pulled up some other health tips for this morning. I was so anxious to dive into the news that I forgot that I pulled up some health tips that I came across last night. And yesterday we were talking about overall health tips. We kind of dived into a little of the physical and, you know, your eating and your social media health and everything. But last night I came across your emotional health, you know, steps to taking care of your emotional health. And the experts are telling us that your emotional health is very important to your overall health, you know, physically, mentally, and spiritually as well. Can they also say that your emotional health helps you to be able to control your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors? Okay, your emotional health gives you the ability to cope with life challenges, which, as we are seeing and as Vivian pointed out yesterday, isn't quite an easy thing to do because we all like to say that we're grown, but are we able to handle a lot of what is given to us, a lot of what is given to us that I've got to have an effort. Please prepare me for my day and prepare me for what I have to face because I don't know what I'm going to come up against today. So when your emotional health is on point, it helps you to deal with those things that you don't even see coming. Okay, your emotional health also gives you the ability to have that snapback, that bounce back. So when things happen, you know, even if it takes you, and it shouldn't take you a whole lot of time. I remember Pastor Steph going over that some time ago, maybe last year, the year before last. Time is flying, so I don't even remember how long ago things happened. But I remember she was saying, you know, especially as Christians, we don't have time to be, you know, wallowing in what just happened 5 minutes ago. No, we need to bounce back from that because we don't know why God probably allowed us to walk into this, or we don't know what God needs us to do right after that thing happened. So we have to make sure that our bounce back is on point. And it can only be on point if our emotional health is on point. Okay, our emotional health helps to keep us aware of our emotions. Again, that accountability. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, I can just feel whatever I feel and it's okay. Not necessarily, because it doesn't only affect us. You know, a lot of times if we don't learn how to keep our emotions contained, it can get pretty out of hand. So our emotional health helps to keep us aware of our feelings and aware that we need to be held accountable for a lot of our emotions. Okay, and again, your emotional health helps to aid in your physical health, which aids into everything else, again, your overall health. Okay, so experts say that your emotional health is a skill. It's a learned behavior, and I can attest to that greatly. You don't wake up knowing, even when you get better at it, you know, even when you get better at talking about your feelings and sharing your emotions and being able to take accountability and being able to take constructive criticism, every day you still have to make the choice to say, okay, I'm going to handle things better. I'm going to deal with life better. I'm going to deal with whatever needs to be done better. And only when we make that conscious decision to check our mental health, that's the only time we're going to be able to learn this behavior. So they gave us a few steps. The first step of checking your mental health, your emotional health and making sure it's on point is when you are aware of your emotions and your reactions. So let's say what they say about that really quick. They say, notice what is in your life and notice what makes you sad. Notice the things that make you frustrated. Notice the things that make you angry. And try to address or change those things. So, again, taking accountability. So we just can't seem to get away from the switch tip from last week. Okay, so making sure that you notice the things that make you sad, frustrated, angry, and make sure that you are addressing these things. Okay, what's the second tip that I thought? Because they gave us a few, but I plucked out the ones that kind of stood out a little more. Okay, they say express your feelings and appreciate them. Let's see what they're saying about that. Express your feelings in appropriate ways. So let people close to you know when something is bothering you. Keeping feelings of sadness or anger inside adds to stress. It can cause problems in your relationships and at work or school. And I know someone right now where it's like the Holy Spirit is telling me to reach out and, you know, talk to them, and I'm willing to do it, but it's like, Jesus, I feel like it's going to be such a fight, because they pick and choose the people that they want to express their feelings to, and they're not making the right choice. The people that they're choosing is like, are they really able to help you? You know, and I see how it's aiding in their stress. I see how it's causing, or it can cause problems between, you know, had this been me even last year, it's like, okay, listen, God, I tried because they ain't trying to tell me what's going on, and I don't need to know the ins and outs, but obviously you're asking me to go talk to them because it would be beneficial for both of us. You know, it would be beneficial for our relationship, but they just ain't trying to hear it. So why am I going to put myself out there and just get myself annoyed? But I guess, you know, you still have to make sure you let that person know or those people know that you're still there willing to take on their feelings that they have to share. So you just have to make sure that you're being on point for them. Okay, the third tip that they gave us is think before you act. And it's, oof, especially with the, well, I can't even just say the younger people anymore because everybody is losing their mind, as Pastor Kim would say. But they're saying think before you act. Give yourself time to think and be calm before you say or do something you might regret. And we're living in a time now where everybody just, as they say in the streets, everybody just pops off. Everybody just says, oh, well, this is what I want to say. And I know Pastor Steph always asks me and my younger sister, like, why do you feel the need that you just have to say everything? You know, you don't think about these things before you feel like you just have to say it. You don't think about who's in the room. You don't think about how it can affect somebody else. You don't think about any of that. You just say whatever it is that you say. And it's like, yeah, you got to get better at this, Shanti. You really have to get better. And it doesn't serve you well in your emotional health to just automatically say what it is that you want to say. You can't. You can't. I have to admit, you do have to think before you act. It really does. And it helps you to mature. It really does help you to mature because it helps you to allow God, you make room for God to help you scream what it is that you're feeling and what needs to be said and what needs to just be held in, and you need to take that on the side and pray to God about that on the side. So you have to make sure you think before you act. Okay, what's the next tip? What's the next tip? Fourth tip, strive for balance. And this is actually something that I thought was very interesting because I applied it to myself. Find a healthy balance between work and play and between activity and rest. Make time for things you enjoy. Focus on positive things in your life. I know after a couple of weeks ago, you know, I went to God and told him a few things that I was feeling. And, you know, one of the things I was feeling was, okay, I have to make sure that I'm prioritizing properly. At the same time, I understand that, you know, it can't just be work, work, work all the time. And, you know, in our church, we've been doing a lot about, studying a lot about rest. And, you know, the streets say, you know, hashtag grind now, sleep later, or I'll sleep when I'm dead, or, you know, I'm chasing this bag and all that. Yeah, and all that's cute. But if you don't have a healthy balance, you know, you still have to sleep. You have to get your physical rest. You have to get your mental rest. You must make room for your spiritual rest. And as these tips are showing us, we must make room for our emotional rest. And when we don't, you become very emotionally unhealthy. So you have to make sure that you're taking the time to make time for the things that you enjoy, but after you know that you've completed what you need to complete for the day, but not stressing yourself out about it and making sure that you're taking the time to focus on the things that make you smile. And, you know, just like Romans 8:5 tells us, that we have to make sure that we're doing things that are pleasing to the Spirit, and it pleases the Holy Spirit greatly because it pleases God greatly when we make sure that we're taking the time to have a proper rest. You know, not just only on the day of worship, but even throughout the week. Okay, and the last tip that I pulled out I thought was really interesting was find purpose and meaning. And it's saying figure out what's important to you in life and focus on that. This could be your work, your family, volunteering, caregiving, or something else. Spend your time doing what feels meaningful to you. And, of course, as Christians, you know, it does become a little frustrating when you feel like, you know, God hasn't let you in on your purpose and, you know, the meaning that he has for your life. But at the same time, we can rest in the fact that even if he hasn't let us in on that yet, we know that we do have a purpose. And, you know, that's something that came to mind that I was like, wow, God, this is why being in you is so dope. Because even if I don't know the ins and outs of my life yet, or the ins and outs of the situations that, you know, you need me to be in, or the things that you have me doing right now, but I may not know the ultimate purpose for my life, I can rest in knowing that I do have a purpose. And in these streets, you can't rest in that. Because you go and you chase every and anything trying to find that fulfillment. But when you decide to give God your life, you just complete your assignment one assignment at a time. And even if you ain't got a dollar in your pocket, you just do what you know God is telling you to do, and you know he's going to take care of you. So it really says a lot for your emotional health. And you know, you don't have to worry about stress and anxiety and all of that when you know that God will allow you to find your purpose and your meaning. Okay, so again, really quick, let's go over these emotional health tips that is a learned behavior, but it's very well possible. One, be aware of your emotions and reactions. Two, express your feelings in appropriate ways. Three, think before you act. I'm going to say that one again. Think before you act. Because a lot of people like to blame other people for the downfall of their health, but it be you most of the time. Four, strive for balance. Five, find purpose and meaning. Okay, so as Pastor Steph always says, I hope you had your pencils out, because these are tips that we must make sure we are following throughout our days, and before you know it, it will become a part of our habits, as we discussed habits yesterday. Okay, now let's quickly dive back into our news. So again, we spoke about the 101-year-old man who decided to dive into his health, his emotional and mental health, and he wanted to have, you know, the success of saying, I got my high school diploma. And again, I'm like, kudos to you, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to go back. It takes a lot to go back. So, you know, just giving him that. Okay, I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to come to this one last. All right. So, was it last year? Was it last year that it was the whole, or was it the year before last? Year before last, I think it was, where it was the whole big thing with Kirk Franklin and his son, Kerryon Franklin, where they, the video went viral when Kirk Franklin was on the phone arguing with his son and ended up cussing his son out. It was this whole big womp womp, whatever thing. And, you know, I've heard him saying, well, listen, that is what happened in the black family. You know, you get beside yourself as a child, even as an adult child. Listen, sometimes the parents need to check you. And he got checked, you know. So if you didn't know of that story, please go back and Google it. His son, Kerryon Franklin, you know, they got into this big old altercation and, you know, verbally, and his son recorded it. And I guess he sold the tape, because I think there was some talk about him selling, you know, and getting paid to do interviews and him downplaying and downgrading his father and everything, especially with his father being this public figure and this man of God, you know, was this whole thing. But I don't think Kirk Franklin got too much backlash from all that, especially from the black Christian community. But anyhow, headline reads, for Kerryon Franklin, the 33-year-old was reportedly arrested early on Sunday morning. Now, it doesn't say what he was arrested for, but there was some talk that they even had to get rid of a weapon that they found in his car when they pulled him over, that the cops found his car when they pulled him over. And he is currently being held in L.A. without bond. So for them not to even grant you bail, I don't know what he did, but I didn't even realize he was a reality star. I, you know, and again, ever since the pandemic started back in 2020, I got, eliminated me. And there was only really two shows that I watched as far as reality shows. I wasn't into all, you know, the Housewives and this and that. But nonetheless, there was still two shows that I engaged in faithfully when it came to reality TV, and God just wiped that off my table. So maybe that's why I didn't know of Kerryon Franklin being a reality star. So he's part of Bad Boys Los Angeles. That's the name of the show. Again, I've never even heard of the show, so I'm not sure exactly what the show is about. But nonetheless, Kerryon says that he was wrongfully arrested and stopped because of his taillight. So you can stop because of your taillight, but they may hold you without a bond. I don't know. But then they're saying that there's rumors of Kerryon Franklin resisting arrest, but they are actually getting ready to send him back to Texas where he has to deal with a separate case. So he's having a few run-ins with the law, apparently. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I just find it very interesting that you get into this altercation with your father just a couple of years ago, and you put your father out there, whether it was just for financial gain or for financial gain and to put your name further out there, because that's what a lot of people were saying also. Oh, he's putting himself, his father out there to, you know, build himself up with, you know, his clout. That's pretty much what they say in the street. You know, is he clout chasing, and is he saying that he's going to put his father out there to gain his own notoriety, only to turn around now and have your name in the headline in a way that you don't want them. And now not only do we know about this, but for people like me who didn't even know that you already had a record or that you were already wanted in another state for something else, had charges in another state, now your name is out here for this. So we really have to be careful about putting other people's business out there, because God can very well allow our business to be put out there and in a way where we may not want it out there. Okay, so it says a lot for our intentions and our motives and how God now allows it to come back and bite us in the behind. Okay, so last night, a listener submitted a story. Now, for those of you who have Instagram accounts, and, oh, goodness gracious, those who have Instagram accounts and, you know, you do your bio, you make up your bio, and your bio is supposed to explain very briefly, because they only give you about 90 characters, but very briefly it's supposed to explain who you are, what you do, and, you know, you invite, you pretty much like put a call to action. You invite people to engage with you or to book you or to collaborate with you or whatever it is that you do, whether you are promoting your personal brand, your business, or whatever. And I noticed a while back they started putting she, her. They probably put in he, she, too. She, her next to their name. So it would read Shanti's brand, she slash her. And I'm like, well, what is that about? And I said, okay, well, maybe, and of course the women would do it, her, she, her. But I was like, okay, well, maybe they're doing that because of the whole, you know, thing that's going around now as far as the gender identity. And, you know, you have the LGBT community not wanting people to focus so much on women because it's saying something to them, it's discriminating against them. I don't know. But I got this story sent to me yesterday where there's a new gender pronoun. So that's pretty much what that is. You go on Instagram, and if you're making a new Instagram photo or a photo page, or if you're updating the page that you already have, you can choose to put she, her pronoun, or I guess he, him pronoun. I haven't seen the men do it. I've just mainly seen the women. But now there's a new pronoun, and I'm going to quickly read the headline before I get into it, because I had to read this a few times just to kind of wrap my head around it. But it reads, two millennials posted a video online instructing their audience on how to properly use their demon pronouns. Yes. So there were two people, one named Jasper, one named Leona, who posted a TikTok video explaining the demon pronoun. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it slowly because, like I said, I had to read this a few times yesterday. Okay, so this is how you would use these pronouns. Hi, my name is Jasper. I use they/it pronouns. That's how you would say it regular. Or you could say, hi, my name is Leona. I use they/demons pronouns. So Leona uses they, them pronouns and demon pronouns. So the sentence would be, Leona is my partner. They are cute and I am theirs. I love them very much and I hope they love themselves too. For the demon pronouns, if Leona is my partner, Deem is cute, so Deem is short for demon, and I belong to Deem. I love demon very much, and I hope Deem loves demon self too. If y'all need me to reread it, I will, once I tap into the due time crew. Oh my goodness. Okay, so instead of she, her, he, him, we're saying Deem and them and Deems, and we're referring to the demons. So they're calling themselves demons and each other demons and referring to the other demons as cute. I don't even know how this makes sense. I don't know how they, you know, I've never liked riddles. I've never liked riddles, and this just seemed like one real remedial riddle, and I just couldn't, I can't even tell you how many times I have to read this last night, and I was like, okay, I got it, and then like an hour later, I said, no, I don't, but I refuse to go back and read this again, okay, but it just really, I think what baffles me the most, and okay, we just got a listener that sent in, you, these demon people are weird. These are the most attention seek. This is the most attention seeking generation. It's sad. And it really is. It really is. And the enemy is capitalizing on the fact that these people are seeking attention. And they will go and do whatever it is that they can do to draw attention to them. And this is how you're drawing the attention to yourself, by now raising and acknowledging the enemy, to where you're conjuring him up and you're helping him, like you're really making room for him right now, and you're calling yourself him and you're acknowledging his demons, and I don't even understand how this makes sense, and I guess your mind just really has to be that twisted in order for it to make sense. But I couldn't, you know, not bring this up because, again, as soon as it was sent to me, I immediately thought about the pronouns that I see a lot of these women put on Instagram. And, again, as I said in the switch tip about titles, you know, God has to deal with me very heavily. And now I see why. You know, you think these things are so innocent when you have to put a title because everyone else is putting a title. And I remember when I first saw this pronoun and a lot of the women were doing it on Instagram, I was just like, yeah, okay, so I won't be involved with that. I know I'm a woman. Anyone who knows me already will go come across my page and see that I'm a woman. I'm a woman, okay? And you will see through mine. I know, listen, I know it's been a lot of psych your mics out here right now, because a lot of the transgender, they've been able to fool a lot of people. You know, they look like they were born a woman, but they really weren't. But if that's what you think I am, then oh well. You know, if God has called me to minister to you, by the time we talk, you'll know that I was born a woman. I don't have to put she, her. And when you just blindly follow these things, now look at the next. It doesn't mean that you would do this, but look at how the enemy just easily, he comes in real subtly, and now it's just bam, the whole blatant thing. Like, how does this make sense? How does this make sense? I don't know. But we're going to tap into our due time crew, and we're going to pull up Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing okay, my love. I'm doing great. You're doing a wonderful job, my love.
Thank you. Thank you. So were you able to hear the emotional health tips that the experts gave us this morning?
Yes, I was in and out. Mine was balancing. That's always been my problem of balancing. Because if I get that extra minute, I try to relax or take a nap. But learning how to, I said this now that the weather's breaking, one of my goals is I need to start to get outside a little more, you know, just for me. Like you said, just for me. I'm still trying to work on doing that exercise piece, though, but, you know. But, you know, doing some fun, do a little more fun things of learning how to balance. You know, not everything about the ministry. And that's one of my downfalls, because I'm always doing so much of that and not enough of just doing me.
You know,
doing some time off. Yeah.
Right. I agree. And it's the same thing with me, Pastor Shaw. And I was looking outside yesterday, and the sun kind of had you fooled because the sun was beaming, but it was a little nippy out. And I was just like, okay, I don't feel like going outside today. But it wasn't that cold. I could have went outside and walked around for a little bit. So you're absolutely right. Just finding that balance to not just have everything about work, but just getting outside sometimes and just enjoying the air. And it does make you want to do other things sometimes, even when you do something that simple, you know, just to kind of change the tone of your day. Okay, so what do you think about the 101-year-old high school graduate?
Oh, okay. So let me apologize for now. The stories I kind of missed. I caught the ending of the last one. But,
okay.
I heard like a piece of the graduate. He graduated. Now he's 100. That's the question?
No, he had to drop out about 80 years ago. He had to drop out of high school. They didn't say why, but he got the desire to go back. And he went back to school and got his high school diploma at 101 years old.
I think that's great. It's never too late to do something that, you know, like people say, let me make my bucket list. So that was on his bucket list for him to go back and to graduate. That's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I have seen, you know, older people that I know that have went back and they wanted to continue school. And, you know, that's a blessing because you still have that mindset to be able to do that. You know, and that's a big accomplishment in someone's life. At 101, goodness, I'm trying to perform. We should have my tamarind.
So really quick, Pastor Charlene, because I actually know a few millennials who dropped out of school for whatever their reasons were, good or bad, and I guess because they've been able to do a little something, they don't see the need to go back. And I've told them, like, you need to go. And these are parents now. You know, they're parents now. It's like, how are you getting on your kid about doing good in school and staying in school, and you yourself are not going back for something, you know, even if it's not so you can gain more knowledge, but even just to be able to have that basic accomplishment that does help to set the trend in your life habits. So what would you say to, like, the millennials, and more mainly the millennials who feel like they don't have to go back to get that basic schooling?
I think that you need to do it, and the reason is because of the fact that it's something that you can accomplish, and you can always show your children. Remember, the first person they see is us. Where they watching all the time is us as a parent. And you'll be able to show them that you're never too late to do anything. And that if you put your mind to it, that you'll be able to grow. And not only just going back to school, but it will also help you in your life as of a job, or, you know, or just wanting your own business. You know, and it can go on and on, you know, because it's never too late. Just like it's never too late for us to go to Christ. You know, it's the same mm-hmm. thing no matter how old you are. You know, you could have been out there doing whatever you was doing. You know, it's never too late. So don't put yourself in a box and think that, you know, that I cannot. Yes, you can. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So therefore, no matter what you put your mind to it, you pray about it, ask God to give you the strength, open up that door for you, you're able to do all things. And you never know. You could be the next president. How about that?
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I like that. Okay. And, you know, Pastor Steph, I love to always say, it's talk about Tuesday. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. I think that's something that we should. You just started the ball rolling, Pastor Charlene. We're talking about that. Because, again, like I said, when I first saw it, I was just like, oh, no, I have to send them this article. So thank you so much. And I'm going to tell them to listen to this, too, so they can hear not only come from me that having this accomplishment is something important. Okay. Yeah. The next story we went over was Kirk Franklin. Did you hear that one, Kirk Franklin's son?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't get that one.
So remember a couple of years ago, it was the whole big thing with Kirk Franklin cussing his son out when they got into the big argument. And the son, you know, put the video out there. The video went viral, and Kirk Franklin got a little backlash. Mm-hmm. But now this same son just got arrested the other day. I believe it was on Sunday. And right now he's being detained without bail. And not only is he being detained without bail in L.A., but he has to still go back to Texas. I think he wants to send him back to Texas because he has a case open over there that he has to deal with. So they're saying that he got pulled over for a taillight, I guess a broken taillight, and they're saying that supposedly they had to discard of a gun that was in his car, but they're not really giving any specific details as to why he was arrested. But, yeah, you put your father out there in the headlines, and now you're out here in the headlines like, you know, like this. So what are your thoughts?
My first thought was, are you calling your daddy now? Because you need somebody. That was my first thought as you were just talking. And because of your name. And so I think that you need to sit there for a little bit, you know, but having the heart of the Lord. Okay. Because I could see your mama saying, wait a minute. So, you know, we still going to do, which we will. We are always, you know, no matter what our children do, we still there for them, right or wrong, you know, but we will let you know that you are wrong. And to have the heart of the Lord, you know, forgiveness, if you say that you forgive, you have to continue to push forward in that. And but he should learn his lesson by now, hopefully. Sometimes it takes more than 2, 3, 4 times, because if you got warrants out for you all these places, you know what I mean? If you've done something in all these places, you know, when do you learn? So sometimes when you can get out, give you that time to be able to reflect and be able to go back on your knees and, you know, and really have forgiveness. But for him to be locked down for a headlight, I thought they only give you a ticket, but you did say a gun, too. So
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they only touched on that a little bit. So I don't know. I can't, you know, we can't take everybody's word for everything. Because sometimes they'll come back and say, oh, well, this was put out there, but this wasn't the case. So they briefly, like, really quickly mentioned that and just kept going. But I agree, you know, the taillight, okay, is it that serious? You know, but again, if they stop you for something and you have warrants or an open case in another state, you know, they may need to hold you just for that, you know? So, one of the first things, like you said, came to mind was just like, wow, okay, so now, like I said, are you calling the same daddy who you put out there? That's a really good point, Pastor Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You're calling the same day that she put out there to now possibly help you, because even as, you know, an adult child, sometimes you still need help from mommy and daddy. I ain't never ashamed to say, you know, that I lean on my mother for a lot. you know, in different areas of, you know, of my life. But because you never know when you're going to need, you know, and sometimes being an adult means understanding that you need, you know. So, you know, he does have, from when everything happened before, it seemed like his mother is the, you know, supportive type, and, you know, she's there, you know, if he needs. So hopefully he can lean on both parents right now to help set him straight, because this is, like, I hope we don't see him in the headlines or anything else, and something else, you know, that's a bit crazier. Oh, gosh. Okay, so now we have...
I just want to say this one thing about that as well. As you was talking, I thought about, too, maybe that's why they didn't give him bail, because they know that they have money, and with that, it'll give him an opportunity to do something else. So long as you don't have bail, you can't get out.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Okay. So these pronouns, were you able to hear that story?
Now you know. When it comes to that Instagram, Facebook stuff, you know I don't know that.
So, okay, so really quickly again, so you can, they don't really do it too much on Facebook. You know, people do have their bio on Facebook, but it's not really a big thing on that platform. But on Instagram, you know, especially because that's the main platform that people go to network and, you know, to collaborate with other brands and businesses. And so, you know, everyone really puts a lot of emphasis on their bio. And now what you can do on Instagram is next to your name, you can put a pronoun. So if you go onto a lot of women's Instagram pages, it'll say like Shanti's brand, and real faint next to my name, it'll say she/her in lowercase letters. I haven't really seen it with the men at all yet, actually, but I've mainly seen it with the women. So it would say Pastor Charlene, she/her. And like I said, my mind went to, they mainly started doing that because of all of this, you know, stuff with the LGBT community feeling like they're being discriminated against, because, you know, especially the transgenders, or I want to be considered a woman too. So if a biological woman, you know, put that, and it's almost like as a biological woman, you know, I was born a woman, so I want to make it known that I'm really a woman, so I'm going to put she, her. But now a couple of millennials decided that wasn't enough. They're now going to have demon pronouns. So it would be Mary Williams Deem / her, or Deems, and Deem will be short for demon. And wait, let me read this again. I'm sorry, Pastor Charlotte, I tell you, I read this thing about 5 times last night just to try to wrap my head. I'm telling you, because it just seemed like one big, I've never liked riddles. It just seemed like one big riddle that kept getting me around. And that's okay, Demon. You think you slick. You're not about to have me sitting here just reading this without understanding it. You think you're about to infiltrate my thoughts. You out your mind. So it would be, all right, so for a regular pronoun, you would say, Leona is my partner. They are cute, and I am theirs. I love them very much, and I hope they love themselves too. And I was like, well, who's the they? I guess the they is the demon. But now you want to get a little more blunt, you would say, Leona is my partner, Deem is cute, and I belong to Deem. I love Demon very much, and I hope Deem loves Demon self too. So this is what's going on out here now.
So what I say, hi, I'm Charlene, and I love Jesus. And he loved me.
So Jesus would be your pronoun.
To let them know. And she. And I have to put she in it. So I'm letting you know whose side I'm on. Because that's how I'm taking it. I'm letting you know. You said the demon. So I'm showing you that I'm not with Christ. But if I put Christ in it, then I'm showing you that I have Christ with me and I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so hi, my name... It's Pastor Charlene. Hi, my name is Pastor Charlene. Elda is my partner. Angels is cute, and I belong to Angels. I love Jesus very much, and I hope Angels love. So it's okay. Exactly like what you said.
Okay.
Yeah. Pastor Charlotte.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's move on because that ain't going to be.
Exactly, and I'm very happy that you twisted it to give the example, because it is the enemy has moved into this now to have people blatantly declare their allegiance to him, you know, and whether you realize what you're doing or not, this is what you're doing.
Right. Right. You're talking about him. See, Peter, a lot of times people look at words as a sound and they don't even realize what the words are really meaning.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm taking it as well. And that's why I say, let me put in about Christ, because if I put him in, so that's letting you know, just as well as when you pick up the phone, you know, sometimes people say, God bless you, or, you know, praise the Lord, you know, something on the phone. And where there's somebody else is saying, who in the bloop is this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So where you at from the very beginning. So, okay.
I got it now. Let me clap for myself. You know what? Yeah, so see, you don't have to have social media to understand. You have to have social media to understand it. Okay. Let's pull up. Pastor Ed is with us this morning.
Yay!
Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank God. Thank God. Glad to be here this morning.
Yes. So happy to have you on. So happy to have you on. Were you able to hear any of the emotional health tips that the experts gave us this morning?
I heard the beginning of you recapping it to Pastor Charlene. I didn't catch all of the health tips.
Okay, so really quickly, they're saying that emotional health is a learned behavior. It's a skill. And they gave us a few, but I chose five that I thought stuck out a little more. And it was, be aware of your emotions and reactions. Express your feelings in appropriate ways. Think before you act, strive for balance, and find purpose and meaning. And if you focus on these tips, they will aid in your emotional health.
Okay. All right. Actually, those that you listed sound pretty good. I know definitely controlling your reactions and your behavior, because there are those that have been put in place out here to challenge you, to try you, as they say. And so you
right.
really do have to be mindful of being controlled. The balance, I think, is the most important one for me right now. And I heard Pastor Charlotte say, it can be something when you're in ministry, you're a community servant, you have a full-time job, you have a family, all these things. Sometimes it can become overwhelming if
mm-hmm.
you're not careful. You don't manage it. So it's really important to find that opportunity to, as they say, just breathe, take a break, you know, and not have to focus on managing or literally, you know, serving a particular organization or a ministry or individual, getting that time away for yourself, for your family, what have you. So they sound good, but like I said, the balance, I think, and not just me, I think the balance may be one of the hardest things for so many in our society
mm-hmm.
to find so much in a limited amount of time. So it's easy to get off kilter, as they say.
Right, right. Okay, so that's the three of us so far staying with the balance, because I agree with both of you. Okay, were you able to hear about the diploma, the graduation? Of the 101-year-old man?
Yes, I heard when you were speaking with Pastor Charlotte. I think that's wonderful. It shows that he truly has perseverance and that he was determined and that he wasn't going to let age or anything else keep him from reaching that goal. So that shows just how important it was. I mean, 101. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think of, you know, trying to study and prepare and learn.
Right.
He probably lived most of that stuff over multiple times, but being able to do it in a prescribed format, you know, like they use for school or to get the high school diploma, I think it's wonderful. And it is a good example because there's so many. You talked about some of the millennials not, you know, that basic secondary educational diploma, it's important because it shows you being able to follow a program or process and successfully reach a milestone, you know, to completion. So I think that's important, and it's a great example. Like you said, you have children coming up behind you, whether they're yours or your nieces or nephews or what. So it's a good example to show that, and especially if we talk about our community, just getting that basic education was not always a privilege, was not always an opportunity that we had. So the opportunity is there. People literally died, were punished for trying to become educated or get basic education. So it's something that I think we should strive for. And this individual is a great example.
Absolutely, because like you said, the school he was originally going to was set for people during that Civil War time for their education. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Carry on Franklin, Kirk Franklin's son, is now being held in L.A. without bond. And he also has a situation going on in Texas that he has to take care of. So I don't know if they're going to send him over there. They probably will. But what are your thoughts on that?
You know, and I remember the previous incident with him. Obviously, there's a lot going on there, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. There's some things, obviously, he needs help with addressing. I don't know the details of the arrest, whether in Los Angeles or the warrant that's in Texas. But I'm certain, despite the last incident, I'm quite sure he reached out to his parents, probably in particular his father, whether it be for money or even the hope of his influence to get him some assistance. But I think there's something larger at work here, more problematic at work, regardless of what the charges may be, that he needs to seek some guidance, some counseling, some assistance, because he's not a child. He's a grown man. And, you know, at some point you have to put away, quote, unquote, childish things. And he obviously comes from a background to where definitely he should be trying to do better. Yeah, you disrespect your parents, you're out of line. You know, things don't always go well for you.
Right. And, you know, he's 33, and then at the same time, he's only 33. So, like you said, hopefully this will be, you know, the thing that kind of helps him put everything in order and say, okay, I need to start moving different because this thing, you know, and your father's a public figure in the Christian community. It's not even like he's, you know, secular.
Right.
And you're not living your life for your, you know, for your father. You're just like, wow, okay. All right, Pastor Ed, what's up with these pronouns?
Oh, gosh. You know, first of all, just the basic, that whole process was very confusing and difficult for me just in and of itself. And now, if I'm understanding correctly, there are individuals that are wanting to acknowledge and include demonic pronouns in their I want to tell you, stuff like that, and I'm sorry, you know, I know our society may be going whatever direction it chooses going, but there are certain things I just don't have time to acknowledge, and that's something I'm not going to play around with. I mean, they may think it's something trendy, something, you know, we live in a society where people seem to be easily bored. I remember the scripture talks about people having itching ears and always seeking new and something exciting. You know, if, and well, obviously this is my opinion, as we always say, but if you balance your life with something that is productive, something that is beneficial to yourself and mankind in general, a lot of times you won't have the time or space for in what I consider foolishness. I mean, this is not something to play around with. You're inviting things, forces into your presence that you don't have a clue, obviously, of what you're doing.
Right.
So that would be problematic for me because I'm like, what is the purpose of me acknowledging a quote-unquote demonic pronoun? You're a human being, and you're trying to invite this into your life. It's pretty foolish and reckless.
I agree, and I like that word you just ended with, reckless, because it is. And like you said, because it just seems like it's interesting for whatever reason or the new thing to do, it doesn't seem like it's damaging me in any way. And we just had a listener send in, the enemy is on his job to keep us destroying ourselves and to keep us confused. And another listener just sent in, the pronouns sound very childish. So it really does say a lot for what you just said, Pastor Ed, about just this whole, oh, I'm quote-unquote bored, so let me see what I can get into. And even in the video, they painted their face almost like the Joker from Batman.
Yeah.
So it's like now you're taking on now the physical persona of what you're saying out loud. You know,
yeah.
So it...
My God.
Yeah, it so
and
like you said, look at how easily it transitions.
Right. And you have to pray for and over your children because they may have to encounter these type. I mean, not that it's just children, but they may have to encounter these type of individuals. Like, you've really got to keep your family and your children equipped so that they know how to stand against or deal with this type of situation in their environment, whether it's at school or in a public setting. I mean, it's a serious issue that we really got to be able to stand against spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for
Thank
being
you.
Able to join us this morning. You're welcome. Just hold on real tight. Let's pull up our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
I am well. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. This is Church Full State. Thank you, Chief.
So as Pastor Steph loves to say, let's talk about a Church Folk Day. But let's talk about this thing. So before we get into the news really quick, were you able to hear the emotional health tips that were given?
Well, I just heard, as you repeated it to Pastor Ed, and my thing would definitely be balanced.
Okay.
My thing would definitely be balanced, yes.
Okay, so across the board this morning is balanced. Okay,
yes,
and
yes,
it is
yes,
really
it is.
Important. Okay.
Right.
Now, did you help the 101-year-old man get his diploma? Were you the one ministering to him?
You know what? I wasn't, but I was praying for him. You know, I heard about it. You know, but I would say, you know, I'm not sure what you know, I heard Pastor Charlin. I don't know if he was the one that thought he could be the president. You know, but you know, that'd be a good thing. You know, at 101. But the other thing is that, you know, I think he cheated a little bit because he had to get 100 in history because he was history. You know, so he
you
knew
know
all
what?
The questions. He knew all that. He knew all
that.
The answers. You know. I think it was a great thing for him to go back to school. I really, really did.
Yeah, cause just the memorizing the stuff alone, you know, and Pastor Steph
right,
always says,
right,
oh,
right.
My brain, you want me to remember something? If it ain't in that Bible, oh, man, she in trouble. So, yeah, it does say a lot for even his abilities, you know, the abilities that he still has.
like, wow. And it, I'm telling you, just puts the rest of us to shame, you know, especially those of us who are still young and just said, all right, we just ain't going back, at least for the basic schooling. So Kerryon Franklin, Kirk Franklin's son, what are your thoughts on him being the headlines now?
I mean, listen, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You reap what you sow. You know, you can't disrespect your parents and don't think someone's going to come upon you. Now, I heard Pastor Charlotte again say, you know, that maybe he didn't get bail or get bond, rather, because he had money. He don't have no money. I'm tired of these children thinking that my children got money. They don't. I have money. So I don't think that was a problem. But he don't have no money. He was mad when his daddy didn't give him no money in the first place. He ain't got no money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got problems in every state you go into. The common denominator is you. It's not your daddy. Mm-hmm. It's not your mama. It's you. You are the common denominator. Get you together, and then maybe you can get some money. But he ain't got no money.
Oh, God. That's a good point. That's a good point. And I forgot about that. I think that was a big part of their argument because he felt like his father wasn't taking care of him. Yes. Yes. Now I remember that. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So these enemy pronouns, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on the enemy pronouns, I think it's a bunch of cowards. I think they're a bunch of cowards. Listen, when Pastor Charlene said all her stuff, she said Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is this. Jesus is that. He's my way maker. See, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're going to just say what it is. It's Jesus. Now, when you got a slideway put in the name of the demon, then you ain't that proud. You don't believe he has that much power. You ain't really that good. If you got a slideway, now I got to call it this. Listen, if you're serving the devil, then say I'm serving the devil. If you're a demon, say I'm a demon. You know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if you think that your God, your master, is greater than mine, then go out there and speak for it.
Absolutely.
If you're a demon, you're a demon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I agree with that. And at the same time, Pastor Kale, I'm also looking at how he's doing it this way for those who may not know to be that savvy yet. You know, because there are, like, I think it was back in 2020, I brought the story to Pastor Steph about there being churches for the enemy now. Like, they are legit churches for him.
Right.
So you do have those who are very blunt about it. They don't try to hide behind anything. This is who I'm choosing to worship, and this is who I wake up saying I'm going to worship, and I go to my service, and I go to sleep, and I didn't have my day. But now for those, especially for the younger people who don't really understand, like, I know what I'm doing, at the same time, I don't know what I'm really doing. I know what I'm saying, at the same time, I don't really know what I'm saying. And now this is his way of coming in kind of like through the back door and be like Pastor Ed said, because now it's like, oh, I'm bored. Now this is the new thing to do or to get into. I'm doing it like this. To where, God forbid, they may become the ones that are more blunt with it, or they could just stay on this level, or that could have been the only video that they make and they never mention it again. You know, it can go multiple ways.
Right.
Again, it's he has to try to get into everybody's mind. So, oh, I already got the ones who are blunt about it. Let me, which, like you guys always say every week, look at how he's attacking the children. Because even though they realize sometimes what they're saying, they don't really realize what they're saying. But he's hoping that you say it enough, now it'll manifest in you to where you do become a lot more blunt about me. So it's scary and sad, because we ain't talking about no, what are they, the generation Alpha? I forgot what they are, like one of my nieces now. I got to pull it up. We ain't even talking about them. We talking about like my age group, the millennials. We should have at least 5 brain cells left. And yes, this is what we're doing. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, pastors. I feel blessed to be sitting here on this line with 3 pastors and Pastor Steph listening in the background, making me sweat. But I'm really blessed to be able to be sitting here with you all. Pastor Sharlin did have a church folk question, but really quick, Pastor Sharlin, before we get to what you have, I did have a listener submit something as far as church folk, and it's definitely let's talk about it. And the headline reads, and I love this listener because this is one of the avenues that I go to find some of the news that I get from Shade Room. And that's like a blog, mainly for millennials, on Instagram. But the headline reads, Chicago Area Church is fasting from whiteness for Lent. Okay, really quick, I'm going to read what they put. It says, when it comes to fasting for Lent, people give up social media, certain foods and habits, but it appears a Chicago Area Church led by a white pastor announced that it is fasting from whiteness. First United Church of Oak Park notified church members in March that they would fast from whiteness by not performing songs or hymns written or composed by white people. Quote, in this fast from whiteness, of course, I cannot change the color of my skin or the way that allows me to move through the world. End quote. Then he gave another quote, but I can change what I listen to and whose voice I prioritize. So that is kind of the plan for our worship services through Lent, that we would fast from a time of prioritizing white voices and that we would use the music and poetry of black indigenous, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I never pronounce this word properly. And people of color, and see what the Spirit might do among us, end quote. Pastor Sharlin, your thoughts on
the church fasting from whiteness.
Yeah.
My thought was, wow, where in the, see right there, somebody who's trying to be right, is that was my cue right there to pack up my stuff and to move out. Where does that have anything of, why are you showing separation? That's one. That was my first thing. And then because, and what are we teaching the people? And you know what's so sad is because of people listen to, instead of reading a word of God, because there's no separation at all. So when you divide yourself, now, it sounds like a cult. Let's just go there. Let me just do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And get that out the way. And when we're listening to we're not reading our word for ourselves, and that's one of the biggest things. Where does it tell us of anything of separation only from the enemy? Where does it show that God has put white, because this is what you're pretty much saying, white people over here, black people over here, you're going to change your music. It's a cult. I'm just going to say it right here. Because y'all know I could keep going. So. Yeah, because I got a little tight. I'm leading people. A little tight.
Who told you that word, Patrick Charlotte? Who told you that word? Oh,
gosh. Oh, okay. No, tight.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor A.
Okay.
Just
for my sake, though, can I get a little more? Is this a white congregation or is it a black congregation led by a white pastor? I wasn't clear on that.
Well, it's a church in Chicago, so the pastor is white. It's not saying which side of the fence the congregation leans toward a little more. But the pastor is white. So he came up with the idea that for Lent, you know, you choose to give up what you want to give up. So he is going to choose to give up listening to songs and hymns that were written and composed by white people. That's what he's fasting from. So he's going to give that up to now listen to songs and hymns that were written by black people. So he would normally prioritize listening to white voices. But now, because he's fasting from white voices, he is going to take on and listen to the voices of the black people.
Okay. I guess I'm trying to find what the spiritual significance of this is, because...
Oh, yes, Pastor Ed. Because, I'm sorry. Yes, because he's saying he's going to take on the voices of the black and people of color to see what the spirit might do among them. So he wants to see if there's going to be a change, if the Holy Spirit is going to bring about some type of change or something with him now listening to the black music.
Okay. I guess I just... I have a problem with it in the sense that I'm probably not fully understanding all of what he's trying to do. But the point is, we should be working to bring people of all creeds and colors, whatever nationality, together spiritually. So I don't know how he feels that this period of fasting away from whiteness, that's another concept. So white music written by white composers, I'm almost like Pastor Charlene, like, wow, because they're not going to stop encountering whiteness in the other areas of their life. You know, when they leave the church and they go home and go to the workplace and to the grocery store or whatever the case is, they're still going to be exposed to it. I think this is something, if he's trying to in some way encourage unity and fight against bias and prejudice, it's something that has to be done throughout the year on a regular basis, you know, not just during this period of, as he says, Lent, to fast from whiteness. I don't think you're going to be able to fast away from it effectively. What you need to do is focus on showing how we are the same, especially in the Lord, and try to drive out these thoughts of separation and different because of the color of our skin. That one's a little odd one for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think odd is the word, Pastor Ed. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor K.O.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yes. So.
Yes, ma'am.
We're fasting from whiteness. That's what we're choosing.
I'm kind of baffled, like the other pastors, because I'm trying to figure out what is the Holy Ghost coming to Park Slope, coming to Canarsie. I mean, what's going on? Are we bringing the Black Jesus to Canarsie and Park Slope? I mean, I just don't understand. If we all serve the same God, you know, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then how are we now deciding that I want to hear Negro spirituals? You know, that to me, that's just crazy. You know, that you know, now all the people say stomp in the white church. I'm just not understanding what is he looking for. You know, this to me is totally ridiculous. You can't have Black Jesus for 30 days. You know, and then the other crazy part about it all is that I don't hear him say, well, because we're doing this, we're inviting, you know, the black folks to the church. I don't hear him saying none of that stuff. You know what I mean? So you want to, first of all, who's singing my songs when in your church? Surely not Amy Grant. I don't want Amy Grant singing His Eyes on the Sparrow. I'm just trying to understand. How are you fasting from the... Let these light-skinned folks sing these light-skinned songs. Let them go into their worship. You know, I've never heard one of them sing an old Negro spiritual. They're not going to sing We Shall Overcome. It's not going to happen. They overcame already.
I just think, I find it interesting. Like, one of the first things that came to mind for me was, this is why we ain't got no business participating in Lent. Because when you leave it up to us to choose what we're going to give up, we come up with nonsense like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give up. So does this mean that on a norm, you strategically pick out music that is only written and or composed by white songwriters and composers? And God forbid somebody slips a, or if somebody slips a Mary Mary in a playlist, they probably pass out.
Oh, man. They go to hell.
Right, because that's contemporary. We ain't even talking about the songs of Zion. You know, we talking about something that I've heard them play in clubs. They play Kirk Franklin and Mary Mary in clubs. Okay, so they would pass out if somebody was to slip Stomp or I'm Walking or one of those songs into his playlist. But it does, like you don't, like you said, Pastor KO, you don't even understand how many insults you have said with your quote-unquote fasting from alone. Like just when you say I'm fasting from white music, that just shows how much you do prioritize. And it did make me think of the verse also, Pastor Ed, that says we're not supposed to show partiality. So what you're saying is that the white music does more than the black music does. It's just so many different ways to look at this and so many different ways that you can take this. And that's a good point also, Pastor Kale. Like, well, are you banning black people from coming in, or are you doing a head count if they do walk through the door? Like, okay, there's four. That's enough. That's enough. Only during this time are we allowing this amount of blacks into the congregation during, you know, these 30 or 40 days. I think Lent's for like 40 days, 30 days. How many other days they do it? But yeah, it really does say a lot. So I don't know. If please 347-755-4548 if you have comments, thoughts, or please call in if you would like to talk to us on air live, because this here just puts another stamp on a couple of weeks ago when Lady Tamika asked, you know, why do church people participate in Lent? This is just like, I'm with Pastor Charlene. Wow. Okay. Pastor Charlene, you had a church folk question?
Yes. Ooh, I'm still on that wow moment. Okay. My question was to the pastors, being in the leadership, and we know that when things happen in a church, that, you know, they come to the pastor for everything. So one of the questions that was asked to me was, when the people who are off beat, like if they marching or they're singing and, you know, they sung a piece and then that extra piece of that singer, you know, lingers behind, or in praise dancing and they are not doing a group. You know, when you're doing a group, let me try to explain this. When you're doing a group, it's the one person that might be off. How do you, without hurting their feelings, tell them that they cannot be a part of, because all the other people are mad about it and the people in the congregations are talking about it? How do you handle that? You understand? I need to explain that again.
No, and that's a good one considering the other two pastors sing. Okay. I mean, I understood it. Pastor Ed, do you understand the question?
Yes, I understand the question.
Okay, so would you like to go first with your thoughts?
Yes. I'm trying to think I've seen a couple of scenarios. Well, one of the things is in most cases with the praise ministry, whether it's praise dance or singing, the director, whether it's the, you know, choir director or the praise dance director, whatever, usually what I see is that they'll try to work with that person a little more to get them on point. There may be some instances where it's just not in them. My thing is, if that's not their particular calling or ministry gifting,
then there may be another, you know, we try to search for the area to where God can use them effectively. If it's just a matter of that, if they need that extra training or extra time in order to get on point, then we'll try that. So try to work it out either way, either find them a place where they can be effective in ministry, or put forth extra effort and have them put forth the extra effort to where they can minister effectively in that particular area.
Thank you. Thank you. Pastor KL?
I think Pastor Ed was being really politically correct, and I appreciate him for that. However, if you can't sing, you can't be able to praise him. You know, we got to usher them in, you know, and this has to be a calling, you know, not your desire. Too many people are in position in church because they desire to do something and not called to do it. And then we as pastors, because they come to church all the time, or because, you know, they're faithful, then we, what you call it, we allow them to just be in any kind of position. But no, you're supposed to be ushering in the presence, and you ushering out the people. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Oh, God. Well, Pastor Charlie, what brought that question to mind for you?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm so busy laughing. I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, it's okay. I said, what brought that to mind for you? Is that something you experienced in the church, or you know, you saw maybe going to someone else's church, or?
A little bit of both, but what I had, and you're both, yes, you know, you have to be able, oh, y'all are funny, just killing people. No, you can't sing. No. But I try to have the conversation, and like Pastor Ed said, you know, take that time out, you know, and being able to help them. Everybody is not on beat, just as well as when you hear people clapping, you know, somebody is going to clap off beat, you know, and you trying to stand next to them and trying to help them clap, you know, it's just a person that's offbeat. Sometimes you can't do that. My thing is that you can do other things. Like, mm-hmm. I just gave those three things of it, like a praise dancing. Instead of them doing that, they have where that they can do the flags. And now when you're doing the flags, you're in your own beat. You know, because of the flags are waving. So sometimes I would say to them that you just need to do this part. A person, like I just said, of clapping their hands, instead of clapping your hands, can you play the tambourine? You know, something else trying to put in that spot. Singing is a little harder. And that was one of the things that, because y'all sing, is what I wanted to know. I haven't had that problem yet, but I've seen it somewhere else, like that person lingers. I don't know how you would call it, but, you know, like the song is supposed to be cut off and they still lingering on, did it? As singers. So I try not to laugh. I'm sorry, Lloyd. I really do. But, you know, how do you get that piece? So y'all saying that ain't their thing, so they don't need to do that. Is that what I'm hearing? If they can't be on beat, of singing.
I believe that's what they were saying, especially Pastor KL. You know, I know, like, in our church, you know, when my mother first started putting the ministries together as far as, like, praise and worship, or not even just what we do in the church, but when we go to other churches and do anything. At first, initially, she was picking and choosing. Okay, you know, who wants to dance? Who wants to sing? So, of course, you know, I raised my hand for singing. My baby sister raised her hand for dancing, because that's what we do. And then we would bully each other into being in each other's ministry as well. So So I raised my hand for singing. I'm like, okay, you're going to sing because she can carry a note. You know, I don't know if we're going to put her out there for a solo, but she can carry a note. And she would bully me into, oh, no, you dancing too, because I can dance. And in certain areas of dance, she's more advanced than I am, but I can keep up with her for the most part. So we would kind of bully each other to be in the opposite one as well. And then there were some who didn't choose anything because they felt like they couldn't do either. And then she said after a while, she said, well, God said everybody's in everything, so get over it, and you better go home and practice because you're going to sing and you're going to dance. And everyone's just looking around like, okay. And for some, it took a little more practice than others, but when it was time to perform, everybody performed. And even if you couldn't, quote-unquote, sing, she rehearsed with us enough to where you could at least blend in with the choir. So you weren't giving no solos now. Nobody giving no solo. But you were able to blend in where you didn't even think you were able to do that. You were able to blend in, and it was the same thing with the dancing. You know, you didn't get no solo dance, you know, parts, but you were able to blend in with everyone who was dancing. And even there, our dances are broken up into parts. So you may have the back doing one dance move, and in the middle doing another dance move, and in the front doing another dance move. But everyone blended in, and it always came out really, really well. So, yeah, God may have you tap into some stuff for different reasons. And then it came out afterwards that the same ones who didn't raise their hand for anything because they didn't feel like they were talented enough, these are things that they wanted to do before they came to church. Like, oh, I would want to be a part of a choir. I would want to be a part of a dance team. I would want, but because they felt like they weren't able to do it, or because someone told them they couldn't, they did it. But God got strategic and put them in a group where they could do it. Again, you may not be headlining, but you're able to be a part of it. And I personally think that that's where people get messed up. If you would like to sing, then you need to get with someone who would be able to teach you how to blend in and stuff. And I know for me, one of the things that I have grown to get very annoyed with are people who, like, if you go to a church service or, you know, something like that, and they say, oh, well, God put a song on my heart. I refuse to believe God told you to get up and sing this song, and you sound like that. And then half the time, they don't know the words, so they asking everybody to join in with them. But if God gave a song and put it on your heart, then how did this now become a group thing? That's something that I have grown to really like, oh, no, here we go again. Pastor A, how do you feel about that? I'm sure that's happened even in your church, maybe, where they say, oh, well, maybe if it's testimony time or something, and the testimony is a song. Because even when I hear it, like, no one even has to say anything yet. As soon as I hear it's testimony time, if you have a testimony or a song, and I'm like, oh, gosh, no, please nobody sing. Because it's never the singers who choose to sing during testimony time. But what are your thoughts on that, Pastor Ed?
My thing is, for that individual, you have to be very careful. You don't want to lie on God. You know, if God has truly called you or led you to do something, it's going to be obvious. You know, like you said, they can't carry a tune. They don't know the word. If God has actually called them to do that, say at that particular time, He's going to manifest Himself, and you're going to feel it, hear it. It's going to impact. There are a lot of folks that just they're looking for a window of opportunity because, like you said, this is something they want to do, and now they say, you know what? They've opened the door, so I'm going to step in and do what I want to do, and then that's when you see disastrous results. So as an individual, you have to be serious and careful about being in tune to His Holy Spirit guiding you and not just calling yourself up.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, we do have a listener who would like to chime in. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I have seen some travesties with people who, I love people, and I love the fact that they decide to help and do things and volunteer, However, in cases, I've seen some real travesties where, you know, like the yearly fashion show, when somebody decides that they want to model, and you don't walk too good, or you just look funny in your outfit, or you decide to sing, and you're that one voice that everybody's trying to figure out, what is that sound? They're looking around the church trying to figure out what's going on, because they're like, what's that sound? And it's you have to be very, very careful, because the God that we serve is orderly, and as a dance instructor as well, you got to teach well. You can't just have somebody come out there because they think they look good, and mm-hmm. there is an order to everything. You can't just have people just come out there and do all kinds of chaotic things, because the God that we serve is orderly. And when we think about it that way, it's important who you put in control, who you put in order, who you decide to let sing a song that they just decided to create on the floor, on the fly, and you can see in their eyes that they don't really know the words. And, I love people, don't mean any harm, but honestly, when it comes to God's stuff, we got to be all the more important. Even something as simple as playing a tambourine, I've even seen stuff with that. It's like, okay, there is a beat. Pick one. I love it, but pick one, please.
Oh, my gosh, she said pick a beat. Because I thought the same thing, Lady Tamika, when Pastor Charlene said, with the flag and with the tambourine. I said, well, if they can't clap, I doubt they can hit that tambourine, because I can clap. And I have yet. I grew up in church. I have yet to learn how to play this tambourine. All I do is shake it, and that's annoying to me. So I don't even bother with it, because I'm like, you're supposed to actually play the tambourine, not just shake it. I can shake my hand. But, I thought the same thing. Okay, so if I can't clap on beat, I don't think I'm working this tambourine too well. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for chiming in. You have a blessed day. Okay. Pastor KL, what are your thoughts on?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I want to sing during testimony time. But my voice is a little tart today.
A lot of things. First, I want to just go back about that. Because Pastor Charlene and Pastor Edda, I love them, but they're politically correct. I'm with you, Shantice. If you cannot clap, how are you going to get a tambourine? The tambourine is an instrument. If you
right.
can't clap, if you can't keep your rhythm, you think I want you waving a flag? You're going to be knocking me upside my head with a flag. No, I'm trying to figure out what kind of churches we got now. Come as, listen, I know it says come as you are, but not do what you want. Now the other thing about, the woman who talked about God put this on my heart. Listen, God is in order, and he's one of totally completion. So when you got up there, you should have told the whole story. God put it on my heart, but he put it on somebody else's lips. He didn't tell me to sing this thing. It might be in my heart. But if for somebody, listen, God put this on my heart. Was somebody singing for me? I really need this today. Not you. Not you. Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. But do you feel, Pastor Charlene, that with that being done, especially where it would only be really matter during like a church service or a church event, with that being done during a service, everything, does that serve as a distraction, do you feel like?
Yes, it can be, yes, because you're so busy watching that particular person. So it can be a distraction to others, because you're sitting there saying, why would they put them in the front? If it's a group of people, you could put them towards the back or on the side. It's a lot of things that in your head when you're sitting there and you're watching. But I want to say, y'all heard my feelings. I want to tell you why. Because y'all know I be singing. And I'm coming to all y'all places, and even you, Pastor Ed, I'm coming to give my testimony, and I'm going to sing my song. So y'all heard my feelings. I'm coming. I am her that y'all talking about. sometimes a song will come and I'll be like, oh, but I don't know the ending. Y'all saying you're with me. So y'all was talking about me.
Well, why? Well, why? Then why are you singing it to the end if you don't know the end?
See what I'm saying? Because
Pastor Charlotte,
yes.
Pastor Charlotte, they said in the olden days when you hum, you confuse. They say in the olden days when you hum, you confuse the devil. So keep humming. Keep humming, baby. keep moaning.
But I'm saying I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because that, as like you said, practice, continue to do something, you are able to become, I won't say perfect because ain't none of us perfect, but you're able to blend in. And I like that word that you use, being able to blend in. Because if you can't stay and be, if you put that person to put them in the middle and everybody's around them, they will be able to catch on. So
but
my thing
not trying
is,
to blend,
see, I don't want people
to
feel.
Huh? They're not trying to blend. They're not trying to blend. They want to get up and do a solo.
Well, I wasn't talking about that person. I was still in the blending part.
Okay.
But now those that want, but that's still me, because I'll grab the mic and I'm going to sing me a song.
Well,
and
Pastor
I don't care.
Yes. Please don't sing it to the end if you don't know the ending of the song. Please,
I'm coming to y'all.
I'm
coming to your service, and I'm going to sing. And let me tell you, this is what I tell the musicians. Quick, fast, and just real quick. There was a song, we had appreciation for some musicians, right, yesterday, the ones that played for us. So I got up to, you know, to encourage them. But I thank them because they never know what key I'm in, but they'll find me. If it takes 10, 20 minutes, they'll end up finding me, and I thank them for it. So I don't care. Don't discourage the people. Y'all keep on singing. We'll get our own group together. And tell your mother stop laughing because I'm just crashing up right.
Wait. How long did it take them to find your note?
I don't know. I told them about 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't know. But they eventually find me. They be in the mix of laughing. But
do you know how long that is in musician time? You know how many songs you can sing in 10, 15 minutes? And then you get 10, 15 minutes to find a note. How many, Pastor KL, how many songs can we sing in 10 to 15 minutes?
In 15 minutes, I can do a mini concert. Now, Pastor Charlotte, let me tell you something. If you had appreciation for the musicians, you should have appreciated them by not singing.
Wait.
That's not
nice. Pastor Ed, because I've actually sung back up for Pastor Ed before. Pastor Ed.
Yes,
ma'am. What are your thoughts on what Pastor Shelley just said? Oh, my goodness.
I will say this as one who served as a musician in a small church. You know, I play a little piano, just a little enough for a small church. And it was very hard, you know, because I've even had people tell me, put me in the key of B flat. You put them in B flat, and they go to Z sharp. And it's really hard. So sometimes I want to just stop playing, you know, and let them go, because you know, because I wasn't skilled enough to find them. And sometimes the congregation thinks it's you. They don't know what's going on. So yeah, we have to work on being able to play or sing skillfully. May not sing like an angel, but just, you know, trying to get it in there to where it's a presentation that is uplifting to the Lord and to the congregation listening.
Yes, there's only one musician that I have ever watched find someone on key, whether they were singing good or bad, and that's Ainsley. I always say after being around him, and after having him play for me before and listen to him play for others, it's like
anytime someone says, oh, I play behind you, I just look like, I'm sorry, you're no Ainsley. Like, I don't, let me do this a cappella, okay? Unless I rehearse with you, because there are some musicians who will mess you up as a singer. I've had that done before. And as I'm up there singing, I'm waving stop to them on the side. So anyone who was recording me saw my arm just like waving like stop, stop. One of us got to stop. And it ain't me. I ain't stopping because I'm at the mic. You know, but it's just like you're not helping. You're making us sound bad. So you're gonna have to stop. And after working with him, it's just like, oh no, I don't want any pianists, any keyboardists behind me. If you are not Ainsley Harris, leave me be. So I agree with you also, Pastor Ed. It does. You know, there are some who can follow and there's some who can just play. But I think it just all boils down to understanding, like we said in the beginning, where you are, and if there is room for you to blend in. Like I said, I have watched God be a way maker and create the opportunities for you to get, and then if you can't, then he'll find, you know, or he'll place you somewhere else where you can be even more useful and effective than here. So, Pastor Charlotte, we ain't trying to discourage you. We just trying to get you to, you know, you're
going to. Well, I just want to say this before we cut loose. Pastor Ed, this is for you. It may not come when you want it, but it'll be right on time. So you keep on playing behind me. I don't know what key, but you just keep on playing.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. My pastors, Pastor Charlene, Pastor Ed, Pastor KL, for being on this morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be able to be on with you guys this morning. And I hope you guys have a safe and blessed rest of your day. And don't forget to give Pastor Steph her shout out on Facebook or via text.
You did a wonderful job. You guys do the same. And I'm going to keep on singing. I don't care what y'all do.
Okay.
Great job, Nisha. Great job.
Thank you. Okay. In the words of Pastor Steph, we are going to hold hands and hold hearts as we go before the Lord and close out in prayer. To Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and we say thank you first and foremost, Lord, for calling each and every one of our names and choosing to wake us up this morning, to Heavenly Father. Thanking you so much, Lord, for allowing this show to take place this morning, Lord, allowing there to be no distractions, to Heavenly Father. You making provisions for the news that we spoke about, Lord, for the emotional health tips, Father God, for the church folk topics, the Heavenly Father, where you did not bless us with just one but two, the Heavenly Father. Thanking you so much for Pastor Ed, Pastor Charlotte, and Pastor KL, Lord, who made it their business to push through, to be on this morning, the Heavenly Father, whether it was easy or whether it was difficult, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for Pastor Steph, the Heavenly Father, as she is able to just sit back and relax and enjoy the show from a different perspective on today, the Heavenly Father. Thanking you for the listeners who chimed in, Lord, thanking you for just everything that you have been doing for us, the Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that we can meditate on line on today, the Heavenly Father. All of the topics, all of the tips that we can take all of the things that we need to hear it. And as we just go throughout our day, the Heavenly Father, that you remind us of all of the knowledge that we are supposed to have, not only of things from a week ago, but even that we heard earlier on today, Lord. So God's prayer that you allow us to get to this afternoon and to this morning, that we can do a recap of what you have started us with on our day, the Heavenly Father. Thanking you so much for this ministry. Thank you so much for Block Talk, Lord. And again, God, we say thank you for all things great and small, all things seen and unseen. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. These were some really interesting church folk topics. The submission given by the listener of the fasting from whiteness, you know, it just continues to give us as Christians, us as Christ followers, us as those who have given our life to God, you know, if you are not grounded in your own relationship with God, it can really help you become so fickle like the rest of the world, because now when people come to challenge you on why other Christians do what they do, you may not be as spiritually bold enough to stand up. You know, we don't attend this church. We don't know why Pastor Ed, Pastor Shaw, and Pastor KL obviously have their own church, their own ministry. None of us attend this church. At the same time, everyone was able to give not only advice from their own personal experiences, but also biblical advice as to why this just doesn't make any sense. Not only what you're fasting from, but God just keeps allowing this fasting and this Lent topic to resurface. And if it isn't something that you've already been considering and thinking about and questioning, if it's something that you do, you know, then you really need to start paying attention to it. I had someone text me the other morning saying that they chose to give up such a thing for Lent, and they also gave up such a thing for Lent. And I don't know what made me ask them, but I was like, oh, so do you feel any better? And they said, honestly, I feel like I should have given up something else. And they named it something else. And I was just saying to myself, you're not going to feel good because I don't feel it just for this amount of time. You know, again, Pastor Steph had me look up, you know, the definition of Lent and short the lesson. And they based this Lent on the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus went up onto the mountain when the Holy Spirit met. Jesus up to the mountain and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then at the end of that, the enemy came and tempted him. He overcame the enemy and then went on to do his miracles. But we can't do that. We can't go 40 days and 40 nights with no food. We can't go 40 days and 40 nights without doing anything that we don't plan on picking right back up at the end of that 40 days and 40 nights. So, again, Jesus came so that we don't even have to engage in that. He did all that work for us already. And this is part of the reason why, because we choose to give up what we want to give up, and then we end up making God look, this makes God look crazy. Whiteness, I'm giving up whiteness. Like, what does that even mean? Like, how did you even come up with that? But, yet again, when we are left up to our own mind, this is what we come up with. So, you know, I just ask, and I will make sure I do the same today, that we just lift this pass up in prayer. The article did not mention his name. But if you Google it, maybe there's another article that has it. It's a church in Chicago. Just lifting up that pastor, lifting up that congregation in prayer as well, because, you know, no one is beyond saving, you know, but we really have to make sure that we're on point for each other. You know, as Christ followers, we have to make sure that we're holding each other accountable in love with tender mercy and tender grace, just like God does for us through Jesus. But we have to stop all of this. And as as far as with the understanding which ministry you should be a part of, again, I have watched God make a way for those who genuinely wanted to be a part of something like that but just felt like they couldn't or was told that they couldn't, and to build their confidence in God and to build their confidence in themselves. He had them doing things that they counted themselves out of doing. At the same time, you must understand your placement. So, again, we have to make sure that we're not helping the church and God and the ministries look crazy and help other people to look at the church and take it seriously. But I thank you guys so much for being on with us today. Please make sure you tune in tomorrow, where I will be your host for the last day on our Wow Wednesday. And I'm sure Vivian is already prepping for some amazing, interesting news. Please don't forget, again, to give Pastor Steph a shout-out on Facebook. Let her know that you miss her. Let her know what you think of the show. And I hope everyone has a safe, blessed, healthy day. And in the words of Pastor Steph, I'm sure she sends her kisses and her love. I love you.